That's good, girls. Appreciate that. Brother Dallas is a good brother. I've enjoyed getting to know him. Actually, we met and became acquainted about a year ago. But since then, our paths have crossed three or four times, and I've enjoyed preaching with him, and I enjoy hearing him preach. And he was a blessing last year when he came through. Has a real burden for just the old-fashioned, rear back and preach and see God work type meetings. Amen. And he has these passing the mantle conferences in churches. He tries to have a very young preacher with an older preacher, an experienced preacher, and put the two together. And he's got one coming up this next Monday and Tuesday down at the Marsh Baptist Church in Mapleton, the Peoria area down there. And then he has a big national conference in September, and a lot of speakers coming in for that down in the Memphis area. And so I'm glad he's here tonight. Glad he's passing through. Been up north, and he's headed down to Brother Sexton's for the weekend and next week. So I'm glad he could preach for us tonight. We have some young people that are singing. So y'all come, y'all are singing. That's right. Okay, very good. Usually they're seated down toward the front, but I think they wanted to postpone it as long as they could. All right. So we'll enjoy the special, and then Brother Dallas, we'll be happy to hear you preach tonight.
I can hear the voice. voice, I can feel the touch of God. See the hand, hear the voice, I can feel the touch. See the hand, hear the voice, I can feel the touch. I can see the hand, hear the voice, I can feel the touch of God.
Amen. It is good to be back here at Faith Baptist Church tonight, and my wife and I have definitely been looking forward to this. I'm glad to have her with me tonight, and I used to introduce her as my better half, and I was preaching with Brother Coral not long ago, and I introduced her as my better half, and he got up to preach after me and said she's more like my better quarter, amen. So, but I'm glad she's able to be here with me. How many of you like Harley-Davidsons? Anybody here like Harley-Davidsons? When we get to heaven, I find out we're going to have transportation. I'm asking for a hog, amen? But you heard about that guy that was riding his Harley-Davidson out there on the interstate in California, and he'd been faithful to God for many years and been faithful to his family, just reared his children in the admonition of God. And there was a cloud that overshadowed him while he was riding his Harley-Davidson there in California on the interstate, and voice came out of the cloud, the voice of an angel said, you've been faithful to God for many years, you've been faithful to your family, you've been faithful to your children, been faithful to your church. He said, I want to bestow a wish upon you, and whatever you wish, he said, I'll make sure that wish comes true in your life. So that guy pulled his motorcycle over there to the side of the highway, and he began to think for a minute. He said, okay, he said, I like to have a highway that would go from here to Hawaii. And he said, without having to get on a boat or without having to get on a plane, I can just ride my motorcycle from here to Hawaii. And the voice said, well, he said, I'll make sure I grant that wish. He said, but I'm going to give you 1 week to think about it. He said, because can't you imagine all the natural resources that it would take to build that highway, all the concrete, all the steel, all the manpower that it would take? I come back to you in a week and you want that highway from California to Hawaii, I'll make sure that it comes true. So a week later, he was riding his big hog down the interstate there in California, and the cloud came over him once again. A voice came out of the cloud and said, have you thought about that wish? And the guy pulled his motorcycle over there to the side of the highway, and he said, yeah, he said, matter of fact, he said, I've changed what I like to have. He said, I like to know what women are thinking at all times. He said, I want to know why in the world you can pay them a compliment and all of a sudden they start crying. He said, I want to know why in the world you can give them 2 hours to get ready for church. And as soon as they get in the vehicle headed to church, they pull down the vanity mirror, putting the makeup on. He said, I want to know what women are thinking at all times. The voice out of the cloud said, do you want that highway to be 2 lanes or 4 lanes? Amen. No, but I'm glad my wife's here with me tonight. It is good to be here. It's a blessing. Your preacher has a good name across this country, amen. And I know you are thankful for him, but as preachers would ask and as families would ask in different churches that we've been going to, where will we be at in the next few weeks or next month or so? And always when we say Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois, they always say, Brother, I forgot his name, Brother Angel, amen. They said, Brother Angel, he's got a good name, amen. And they always say he's a good man, and he is a good man. It's been a blessing to know him, and I appreciate him allowing me to be able to be here. Looking forward to preaching with him next week over in the Peoria, Illinois area with Brother David Sexton, and also he's going to be in my big national meeting that we're going to have there in the Memphis, Tennessee area, and looking forward to that. And I would ask you, church, I appreciate you supporting the meeting last year, and we do have this year's flyers on the back table back there, and I'd ask you to just pick one up, and maybe if you can come, my brother Angel's going to be preaching the very first night of the conference, and if any of you can come up, if there's nothing that interferes with the church here, you come up and support your man of God. But mostly we would ask you to pick up one of these flyers just to be praying for the conference, as we'll be praying for the revival fires in April. I know that that's a big task. We came last year for a couple of days, and man, just a tremendous, just just notice one thing about this church is it's a church full of servants. Amen. And we appreciate all the work that you did for that. But I do want to say this just real quick, and I'll get right into the message about our CD table. 100% of everything that we make on the table does not go into our checking account. We have a separate account that we have specifically for missions, and 100% goes to missions. We support missionaries through our local church, Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi, but we also support over and beyond missionaries through our CD table. The Lord has blessed our CD table, and we support some stateside missions. We support the Calvary Boys Ranch in Eufaula, Oklahoma, the Liberty Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And there's a couple of others. But also one thing that I made my first overseas missions trip over to the Philippines this past year with Brother John Robertson, and just had and Brother Ken Graham, and many of us went over there and went into the public schools and had over 7,000 young people that received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But one thing got to notice, there was a couple different revivals that we were able to preach in while we were over there in the Philippines. And I understand I'm nothing, I'm nobody, but at the end of the service, when we preachers would get through preaching, they would have us standing to the side of the platform. And there was one revival in particular where there was about 150 different national Filipino pastors that would come, and they would ask us to sign their Bible. And after about signing about 15 or 20 of those Bibles, I got to noticing something, Brother Angel, that every single one of them, all they had was just a torn and tattered little paperback Bible. And Brother Robertson and I began to talk, and I don't know about you, but I probably have at least 6 to 8 of these good leather-bound Bibles in my own personal library, and I'm sure that many of you do as well. So we began to talk, and we're having something on our city table called the Filipino Project, where we're going to be able to try to put a good leather-bound Bible in the hands of all those national Filipino pastors. So we'd ask you to pray about that. Just a few things on our table, just real quick, just to highlight some of my single CDs. Now I get to noticing that people go by my CD table. We do appreciate those of you that have already bought CDs tonight. Well, I got to noticing something that many people go by the CD table and they look on the back and they look to see what songs are sung on there. And none of my CDs are singing CDs. And that there's a reason behind that, amen, I promise you. You definitely don't want a CD of me singing, amen. But all of our CDs are preaching CDs. All of our single CDs are $5 a piece. I've got a brand new message on there called The Road to Becoming a Mason. And many people say The Road to Becoming a Mason. That's not the title at all. It's The Road to Becoming a Mason. I got to doing a word search not long ago, and I'm just intrigued by words that are only used in the Bible one time. And Manasseh, his name is only mentioned in the Bible one time. And all it basically says about Manasseh is that he was an old disciple. And you understand, we as Baptists, we as fundamental Baptists, I believe we're the world's greatest at getting people saved, aren't we? Giving the gospel. We're the world's best at not only getting them saved, but getting them baptized. But I believe we fail miserably when it comes to following that third command of the Great Commission, and that is to disciple them and teach them to observe whatsoever things I've taught you. So the road to becoming a Manasseh, we talk about being a disciple. And then also I've got a new one back there called God Sees the Lily Work. And I take the temple of Solomon, and talked about how God knew the height of the temple. He knew the length. He knew the width of the temple. He knew about the golden rods that held the curtains of the temple. He knew about everything about the temple. He knew about the inside and out of the temple. But in just a couple of verses, it talks about on the pillars, there was some lily work. You understand, when people would come to see the temple, they would probably talk about the height of the temple and the length of the temple, the width of the temple. They would talk about the golden rods that held up the drapes and everything else. But I don't believe there would be too many people, Brother Hall, that would just be intrigued by the lily work on top of the pillars. But I'm glad the same God that knew about the height of the temple, the length of the temple, the width of the temple, is the same God that knew about the lily work on top of the pillars. And you understand God knows about our lily work too. There's some of you tonight that got a smile on your face and you've got a Bible under your arm, but when you go home, there's things that you have to go through that none of us will understand, but I'm glad God understands, amen. He sees the lily work. And then also a new message on there called What Happened to the Blush, amen. And there used to be a time in America where Christians would blush over sin, amen. But I preach a message on what happened to the blush. And then also we've got some series sets of my Passing the Mantle regional conferences. And then also we have our national conferences back there as well. The regionals are $30 a piece. The nationals are $40 a piece. And then also I've got a little card back there called the CD of the Month Club. And basically you fill out a card, put your name and address on there. And we'll give you the CD of this month. And by the 10th or 12th of each month, you'll have a brand new CD waiting for you in your mailbox. And then also my wife is able to take cash, checks, and then also she's got it set up now where she can take credit cards. If you don't have any of those and you might want to just slip in a bologna sandwich or something like that, amen, we'll take those things as well. So we appreciate you allowing us to be able to be here tonight, Brother Angel. It's a joy to see you again. We love you. Psalm chapter number 115 tonight. Psalm chapter number 115 tonight. If you find your place, let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Psalm chapter 115. Look at verse number 1 with me tonight. The Bible says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, Lord, to be able to stand behind this pulpit, Lord, reserved for Dr. Terry Angel, Lord. And Lord, I come to you tonight, Lord, I understand that there's not one person, Lord, that has come tonight to hear from Chris Dallas, Lord, but they came to hear from heaven. And I pray that that absolutely could happen. And dear Spirit of God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would move in the services tonight. Speak to hearts, Lord, only like you can. Lord, I can't bring conviction upon one heart. Lord, I can't encourage one discouraged. Lord, I can't lift up one broken heart. Lord, I can't save one that's lost tonight, but Lord, you can. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would do the work that only you can do. And we'll thank you for it. In your precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse number 1, let me lay a foundation here, and then we'll get right into the message tonight. But you'll find here in Psalm chapter 115, verse number 1, the Bible says again, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And verse number 1 just simply tells us that you and I as Christians are to give God all the glory and all the honor, and it is due his name, amen. You understand tonight that anything around the church ought to be to bring honor and glory to God. Those three young people, they got up to sing a special a little while ago. I believe they were honoring, glorifying God, amen. You understand, anytime that anyone would ever get up to open in prayer, it ought to be to bring honor and glory to God. You understand, when you run a bus route or teach a Sunday school class or sing in the choir, it's not to give you a pat on the back, but it's all to bring honor and glory to God. Everything around the church ought to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand, the reason tonight we have light here tonight is because He's the light of the world. The reason we have pews is because He's where we find rest. The reason we have an altar is because there's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. The reason we have song books is because He put a new song in our heart. The reason we have a pulpit is because Brother Angel's the under-shepherd, pointing you to the high shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything around the church, folks, tonight is to bring honor and glory to God. In verse number 2, you'll find the Bible says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" And I'm glad we can answer that question and say, our God is in the heavens, and He had done whatsoever He had pleased. But I want to focus tonight on verses number 4 through verse number 8. And you'll find that the heathen began to make themselves idols of their own hands. It says their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. So they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Ears, but they hear not. Noses, but they smell not. Hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. And you'll find that the heathen began to make idols of their own hands. Made idols of gods that they could control through their circumstances and through their situations. And instead of bowing down and worshiping the God of heaven, they wanted their own God that they could control. And then in reality, what the heathen were doing is they were making a mockery of God with their idols of gold and silver and the work of men's hands. And can I say tonight, church, not only did the heathen in Psalm chapter 115 and the heathen throughout the Bible make idols of their own hands to make a mockery of God, but can I say the heathen today in 2013 are making a mockery of God as well? Can I say this world makes a mockery of God when the homosexuals have more freedom to plead their case than we do as Baptists tonight? This world makes a mockery of God when the abortion crowd, when they say that they have more control over life than even God does. The liquor crowd, they make a mockery of God. I'm not a very old person here tonight. My wife doesn't remember this, but I remember in the late 70s, in the early 80s, when stores were closed on Sundays, and Little League Baseball and Boy Scouts didn't play on Wednesday nights and on Sundays. But you drive by the ballparks tonight, and by the Girl Scout, Boy Scout lodges tonight, and on Sundays, and those places are filled to capacity. Can I say tonight, church, I'm not against those things, but when those things come into place of being at the house of God, when we should be at the house of God, can I say we're making a mockery of God? Big government makes a mockery of God when they tell healthy young men and women to stay at home instead of getting a job. And we'll provide for you food and clothes and a roof over your head. And go against the very word of God that says that if any would not work, neither should he eat. I've seen it with my own eyes, Brother Angel. This world makes a mockery of God when they put billboards across our land that says the virgin birth is a myth. This world makes a mockery of God when they're more concerned about a creature than God's creation. And when millions of babies are aborted every year, and at the same time, government gives millions of dollars to save the whales and the hoot owls. Can I say the communistic public school system made a mockery of God when they kicked prayer and the Bible out of school and put in the hands of teenagers contraceptives? Can I say we're making a mockery of God in America? America made a mockery of God in the last presidential election and in the elections of the past. When we were more concerned about having a president that gives financial comfort instead of having a president that has moral values. Can I say America's made a mockery of God when we support those who are shacking up and taxing those that are married and have the sanctity of God? This world makes a mockery of God when we allow tax dollars to pay for teenage pregnancy. This world makes a mockery of God when we say doctors and judges have more say-so about life than God does. And every day, this world mocks God and imitates Him and puts themselves in His position. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize the world we live in and the heathen that live in this world, they make a mockery of God. But tonight it's very easy for us to point the finger at the world and the heathen of this world and saying they're making a mockery of God, and they are making a mockery of God. Tonight I want to preach for just a few minutes on when Christians mock God. Can I say I believe with all my heart, and you would agree with me tonight, the Budweiser and the liquor crowds are a problem in America. The homosexual crowds are a problem in America. What's going on in Washington, D.C., a lot of it's a problem in America. But I believe the true problem in America is that we as Christians have forgotten what it is to hate sin and hate Satan. And until we get back to loving the Lord in righteousness, we'll never see revival in America. When Christians mock God, first of all tonight, when Christians mock God is when we're powerless in our laboring. When we're powerless in our laboring. Can I say tonight, more important than the order of service is the power of God falling down on this place. More important than the outline tonight is the power of God falling down on this place. Can I say tonight, church, that the power of God is not just limited to pastors and evangelists and missionaries that will stop by from time to time. But the power of God can be extended to every saved child of God. Because the same Holy Ghost of God that lives in this preacher, lives in your pastor, is the same Holy Ghost of God that lives in you. And He wants to extend that power to each and every one of us tonight. Can I get personal with Faith Baptist Church tonight? I believe that this is a good church. I believe she's a great church. I believe we could put this church up against any other church in the land, in any area, and it'd be a good match for any. But as good and as great as this church is, how much greater she would be if we would all find out what is the labor and the power of God. How great she would be if every bus driver would have the power of God. How great she would be if every door greeter would have the power of God. How much greater she would be if every usher would have the power of God. How much greater would she be if every piano player would have the power of God and every Sunday school teacher and every nursery worker. Can I ask us tonight, choir member? Can I ask you tonight, special singer, when's the last time you got up to sing and you wasn't dependent upon your musical ability or your talent, but you sang in the power of God? Sunday school teacher, when's the last time you taught with the power of God in your Sunday school lesson? Bus worker, when's the last time you went out visiting with the power of God? Soul winner, when's the last time you witnessed with the power of God? I've only been saved for 14 years now, but I've noticed something, Brother Angel. That right when after God saved me, it wasn't anything for me to see those old time saints of God that knew what it was to serve in ministries, the choir, the Sunday school, the nursery, for 40 and 50 years. But now as I've been saved just a little bit of time now, I'm noticing across this country that there's a great dearth of old time saints of God that's been serving in ministries 40 and 50 years. Could it be that those of us new Christians that are coming on the scene today, we don't know what it is to labor in the power of God, but we're laboring in the arm of the flesh tonight? Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 62 tonight. Psalm chapter 62. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says this. God had spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Aren't you glad tonight that God has all the power? Amen. We boast as Americans that the President of the United States is the most powerful man on the face of the earth. Can I remind us tonight, church, the only power the President of the United States has is the power that God allows him to have. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Micah chapter number 3. Micah chapter number 3. Look at verse number 8. Bible says, but truly, I am full of power. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be full of Hollywood. I don't want to be full of wicked activity in my life. I like to be full of God's power, amen. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 1, a very familiar verse. Acts chapter number 1. Verse number 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You understand, and I know that you know this here at Faith Baptist Church, but the day that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we receive the Holy Triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you understand, that third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Ghost, came to indwell within us the very day that we got saved by the grace of God. There's a lot more Bible to back that up, that every saved, born again child of God has the Holy Spirit of God living within them. But the question tonight is not, do we as the saved children of God have the Holy Spirit? But the question is, does the Holy Spirit have us tonight? You understand? Many people say, well, Brother Dallas, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But when I sin and I mess up, I don't like it when the Holy Spirit convicts me. Can I say, my friend, I'm glad the Holy Spirit convicts me, because that's evidence that we're saved by the grace of God. Amen. You understand tonight, church? How many of us right now could say we have the power of God on our lives? I'm not talking about last year's revival service. I'm talking about tonight. If you or I are ever going to have an effective ministry, we're going to have to find out what it is to tap into the Holy Spirit's power. Having a ministry that's ever pleasing to the Lord can never be built on human efforts, but it must have divine intervention. One preacher said, I'm not sure what the power of God is, but I dead sure know what it ain't. More important than joining a singing group or being in the choirs, we need the power of God. More important than our church having programs or agendas, we need the power of God. More important than how many ministries we're involved in, we need the power of God. Can I say tonight, bus captain, more important than how many riders you have on your bus route, we need the power of God. Men of Faith Baptist Church, more important than how you comb your hair or how you tie your tie or how good you look in your suit. We need some men to find out what it is to get along with the Holy One of Israel and find out what it is to hunger and thirst over the power of God in our lives. More important than paving our parking lots or having outlines, we need the power of God in our lives. Very easy for us tonight, isn't it, church? To have our three-button suits on, men, and women dressing like women, have our King James Bible tucked under our arm, being faithful to the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't even have to open up the song books when the song leader tells the page number, because we already know the song by memory. Very easy for us to look at this world out here, the heathen of this world. Those that are smoking dope and drinking liquor and shacking up and carousing with the heathen. Very easy for us to say they're making a mockery of God. And yes, they are making a mockery of God. But can I say tonight, when we try to labor in the arm of the flesh instead of laboring in God's power, we make a mockery of God and say, God, we don't need you right now. We can do it on our own. When Christians mock God, first of all, when we're powerless in our laboring. Second of all, when Christians mock God is when we're prayerless in our living. You understand tonight, church? Prayer should be the steering wheel of our life. But many times it's our spare tire, isn't it? Can I remind us, God isn't some spare tire that we keep locked up in a trunk when we have a flat tire in this life. Our God is a jealous God. He wants to be number one in our life. Too many of us have a prayer time, and what we need to have is a prayer life. Many of us think of prayer as just asking God to supply our needs. But church, do we realize the whole purpose that God ever created prayer as a way for man to come boldly to the throne room of grace is not for man to see what he could get out of God, but for God to see what he could get out of man, his love and his dedication, his time with his creation. You understand tonight, church, short? I'm all for short prayers, amen. I believe when you're around the kitchen table, they ought to be short prayers, amen. If I went out to supper with Brother Hall tonight and he spent a 10-minute time in prayer, I promise you, I'm sticking in a crouton here or there, amen. But you understand, short prayers. And I preach it, by the way, amen. I eat my chips before prayer. Y'all forgive me. I'll get right with God one of these days. How many of you like Mexican restaurants? Amen. Amen. But listen to this. Short and inconsistent time with God will never produce spirit-filled Christians. I'm reminded of a story of Dr. Don Green. Great man of God. He was here at Revival Fires last year, wasn't he? He's not doing very well. Have you gotten the latest update on him? He got an infection in his eye, and he's going to be blind in one eye, and they're trying to save the eyeball right now. They're not sure if they're going to be able to do it. You pray for, I forgot about that. You pray for Dr. Don Green. You put him on the prayer list. Great man of God. Brother Ken Graham tells the story about Dr. Green and how he would come in and preach the camp meeting every year. I believe he still does. And he would always come in late Monday afternoon. He would leave out in the wee hours of the morning on Wednesday morning so he could get on the plane and head back to his church and be there for his services that Wednesday night. And Brother Graham would always tell the story. Brother Green prays for about 4 or 5 hours a day. He definitely knows what it is not to have a prayer time but have a prayer life. Amen. And Brother Graham would get to the hotel and he would park his vehicle and he would get out of the vehicle and he would go through the foyer of the hotel and he would go get on the elevator and go up the elevator and go down to Brother Green's room. Brother Graham would get to the room there and the door would already be cracked open. Brother Graham would walk inside that room and he would have Brother Green's two suitcases would already be packed and ready to go. Then he would look over there to the side of the bed and Brother Green was prostrate on the floor praying and had been doing so for hours. Brother Graham would grab those bags and he would go down the hallway, get on the elevator, go through the foyer of the hotel, put the bags in his vehicle. Then he would go back to the foyer, go through the hallway, get on the elevator, go up to Brother Green's room. And he would tap on the shoulder of Brother Green. He said, Brother Green, it's time to go. He said, I need to take you to the airport. He said, Brother Green would start crying uncontrollably, like a little baby. So, Lord, he said, I sure am sorry that I have to leave the throne room of grace. But if you'll just give me a little bit of time, he said, I'll come back to you and spend some time with you. Brother Green and Brother Graham would walk down the hallway, get on the elevator, go through the foyer of the hotel, and get to the vehicle. And Brother Graham said, Brother Green would look at him with just tears streaming down his face. He said, Brother Graham, he said, I love you with all my heart. You're like a son to me. He said, you're precious. He said, but if it's okay, he said, you're precious to me, Brother Graham. He said, but my Savior's more precious. He said, if it's okay with you, he said, I'm just going to get back here in the back seat of the vehicle and I'm going to go back to the throne room of grace. And he said, you just drive me to the airport. And Brother Graham said, about that 30-minute drive to the airport, it was like he was in the Holy of Holies hearing that dear man of God pray. You remember when there was a time in your life, maybe you didn't pray for 4 or 5 hours, but you didn't let anything interfere with your alone time with God? If your cell phone rang, you wouldn't answer it when you were spending time with God. The computers were turned off. The television was turned off. And you really enjoyed and you really loved and you really couldn't wait to spend that alone time with God. Can I ask us tonight, are we prayerless in our living tonight? Are you powerless in your laboring? I'll tell you third of all tonight, very quickly. First of all, when Christians mock God is when we're powerless in our laboring. When we're prayerless in our living. Third of all tonight, when Christians mock God is when we're passionless for lost sinners. When's the last time we burned the midnight oil and have wept over lost family members and next door neighbors and co-workers on the job site? Sunday school teacher, can I ask you, when's the last time you've driven by those on your Sunday school roll before the sun came up in the morning? You stopped in front of their house and prayed God's hand of protection on their life. When's the last time we've looked past a person's financial status and their standing in the community? When's the last time we've looked past their ragged clothes and their dilapidated houses and their skin color? And our hearts were broken and tears would flow down our cheeks because we realized every person that we came in contact with that didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior would die and go to a place called hell. How many of you said, Brother Dallas, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven tonight? I want you to raise your hand tonight. The majority of all of us here tonight, you can lower your hands. The same group that just raised their hand, I wonder who would say, Brother Dallas, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. And I've got a friend, I've got a co-worker, I've got a loved one in my life that's lost and on their way to hell. I wonder who'd slip their hand up tonight. Probably the same amount here tonight. Can I ask us tonight, church, a very sobering question? Those of us that are saved and have heaven as our home and Christ as our Savior, if we're not going to tell our lost friends and family and co-workers about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who do we think really is going to tell them about Jesus Christ? Amen. I'm reminded of my father-in-law. My wife's dad died when she was a young girl. And my mother-in-law remarried about 4 years ago. And I'm not trying to bring a black eye on my dad or anything. I love my dad. He's my dearest and best friend, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, my wife. Amen. I had to throw that wife part in there or I would have had to go home with her tonight. She'd been mad. Amen. But never one time in my life have I ever gone hunting with my dad. Never one time have I ever gone fishing with my dad. My dad was a truck driver, only home about 18 hours a week, and he just didn't have the time to do those things with me. But my father-in-law, he's a fisherman, he's a hunter, and he took me under his wing, and we did all those things together and still do all those things together. But he was lost. And he grew up in a denomination that thought you had to work your way to heaven. And I try to witness to him. I've been burdened about him for so long. And I try to witness to him and tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him how he wants to save him and he don't want him to die and go to hell. And after witnessing to him for a few times, he finally just stopped me. He said, Chris, he said, I don't want to talk about it anymore. He said, don't bring it up to me again. He said, when I'm ready, he said, I'll take care of it. Well, about a year and a half ago, I was preaching in Sulphur, Louisiana, and that was only about 30 minutes from my mother-in-law and father-in-law, and they both came to hear me preach on that Sunday morning, and man, the glory of God just met with us that morning, and seven adults walked the aisle and got saved by the grace of God, and I was thrilled about them being saved, but I looked over there about three rows from the front there at my father-in-law, and he just was sitting there just stone-faced, unmovable. Oh, I was thankful for those that have been saved, but my heart just sank because I wanted my father-in-law to be saved that morning. That Sunday night, he came to hear me preach, and he had, right before I got to preach, the teen choir got up and sang a song, I've Been Blessed. Looked over there at my father-in-law, and tears were just streaming down his face. And I just knew that God was going to work on his heart, and God was working on his heart. I didn't change the message by no means that night, but I definitely preached hell hot and heaven sweet. At invitation time, many came to the altar, but still he was there in his pew, unmovable. You understand, months before that, he had told me, he said, Chris, I don't want to talk to you anymore about it. You understand, he may have stopped me from verbally witnessing to him, but he couldn't stop me from praying for him. And in motel room after motel room after motel room, all across this country, many times in the middle of the night, God would wake me up and tears would begin to stream down my face, and I'd hit my knees, burdened for my father-in-law, wanting him to be saved. And he didn't walk the aisle that Sunday morning. He didn't walk the aisle that Sunday night. That Monday came rolling around, and Nikita and I were leaving out of town the next day. And I asked him, I said, do you want to run to town with me to fill up the vehicle? He said, yeah, I'll run to town with you. So we got to that Exxon gas station there in Hackberry, Louisiana. And we stopped there and I said, Jason, I've got that song on CD that the teen choir sang last night that you liked so much. I said, would you like for me to play it? And he said, yeah. He said, I'd like to listen to it. So I put the CD in, and I don't know, for one reason or the other, I got out to pump gas, and it was the slowest gas pump I'd ever been to in my life. Took me forever to pump gas, but I got to noticing something after every couple, 2 or 3 minutes. That song would play over and over again. A couple minutes would pass, and he would replay that song over again. I got to noticing that he was doing that. I got through pumping gas and got back in the vehicle, and big old alligator tears were streaming down his face again. He said, Chris, he said, I don't know why God's been so good to me. He said, but he spared my life this long. And he said, now he's put a preacher in my life as my son-in-law. And he said, if you'll tell me how to be saved once again, he said, I want to get saved right here, right now. And can I say, at that Exxon gas station, I was able to take a King James Bible and take him on a journey. And that journey was called the Romans Road. And can I say, my father-in-law bowed his head and asked Christ to save his soul. Hey, can I tell us tonight, if we're not going to pray for him, who will pray for him? Amen.
When Christians mock God, first of all, I'm finished tonight. When we're powerless in our laboring. When we're prayerless in our living, when we're passionless for lost souls, and lastly tonight, maybe, just maybe, I'm talking to one or two, or maybe a handful tonight. First of all, when Christians mock God is when we allow our past to limit us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Psalm 103, verse number 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so forth he removed our transgressions from us. You understand, church, at the day of salvation, we as dirty, rotten, filthy, ungodly, putrefied in the sight of God, hell-deserving sinners. Thank God we received a clean slate with God because we were justified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word justified means just as if I never sinned. And can I say, if the Savior of the world can forgive us of our past mistakes and past failures, hey, why don't you find out what it is tonight to forgive yourself, amen? There may be someone here tonight because of things in your past before you were saved. Or even after you were saved, you feel like you're bound or limited on what you can do for God. Can I tell you something tonight, church? Can I tell you something tonight, Christian, that feels like you're limited because of your past? As long as blood is still flowing through your veins and you're living and breathing, the same God that was good enough to save your soul is the same God that's good enough to forgive you of your sin. And it's the same God that will allow us to serve Him regardless of our past. Amen. I won't go in detail about my testimony. My life was a mess before God saved me. And I'm not trying to give glory to Satan by no means tonight. I want to give glory to the Lord. Before God saved me, I went through 5 drug rehabs and in and out of jail. I was at the point in my life before God saved me, about 6 months before God saved me. I was living in my broken down car. It wasn't a broken down car, it was just out of gas. At a rest area. I was living there in my car for about 2 weeks. My mom would come from Memphis, Tennessee every night. She was a nurse in a hospital, and she would come from Memphis, Tennessee all the way to that rest area there in Hernando, Mississippi, about an hour drive. And she would pick me up every night and take me to the little town of Hernando and get me a bite to eat. We would sit there and talk a little while, and then after we get through eating, she'd take me back to that rest area. Tears streaming down my face and tears streaming down hers. I said, Mom, please let me come back home. I promise you that I'll quit hanging out with the crowd I'm hanging out with. I promise you that I'll quit doing the things I've been doing if you'll just let me come back home. She said, Chris, she said, we've heard those promises too many times, and until we see a difference in your life, you're not coming back home. One night, my mom came to pick me up, and she drove clear across the other side of Memphis to a suburb of Memphis called Bartlett, Tennessee. And little did I know, she made arrangements for me to be able to live in a halfway house for dope addicts and alcoholics. And I got out of the car there that night. I came from a family, Brother Angel, that definitely put a roof over my head, clothes on my back, food on the table. But I got out of the car there that night just with a few stitches of clothes in a garbage bag as a bum hooked on dope and drugs. My mom said, Chris, she said, you're not going to hear from your sister and I for some time. She said, because we've been getting harassing phone calls from drug dealers that you owe money to. Sure enough, I didn't hear from my mom and dad for over 6 months. And in order to live in that halfway house, I had to go to AA meetings every night. And I was headed to an AA meeting on August 16, 1998, walking out of the halfway house, and the phone rang. And I went and answered the phone, and when I answered the phone, it was the sweetest voice I'd heard in some time. It was my mama. And she said, Chris, she said, your sisters and I found a church that we've been going to, and we'd like for you to come out tonight. And I'll be honest with you, church, I immediately agreed to go there that night, not to hear about God.
not to hear about the Lord. I simply agreed to go there that night just so I could manipulate my mom and dad one more time to let me come back home. But I got to church there that night, and there was somebody there more powerful than I was. There was somebody there more powerful than the crowd I was running around with and the drugs I was using. And that night at Invitation Time, you understand where I was at church? There wasn't one family member in my life that could even allow me in their home because they didn't know whether or not I would steal from them. There wasn't one person on planet Earth that I could even call my friend. And at Invitation Time, I didn't know what was happening in my heart then, but I know what was happening now. It was called good old Holy Ghost conviction. And there was a man that came and stood beside me at Invitation Time, and he said, "You don't know who I am, but I've been praying for you." And when he said those words, this old cold, stony heart began to melt, and he was able to take a Bible and show me about the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that night, I applied Romans 10:13 to my heart, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And can I tell you, my life has never been the same. And now I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Not perfect here tonight, but let me tell you something. I don't get to do it as often as I did when I lived there in Mississippi. My wife and I are full-time on the road now. At least once a year I have it scheduled. Always December the 26th, the day after Christmas. We spend Thanksgiving with my wife's family, Christmas with my family. And on Christmas morning, or the day after Christmas, I leave my mom and dad, my wife, my sisters, their husbands, our nephews and nieces. And I'll just get in my vehicle, and I'll begin to head down I-55 South. And I'll begin to go about a mile past Hernando, Mississippi. And I'll veer off to that rest area, and I'll go around the building. And I'll back in my car there at 23C. And I use that rest area not to be a hindrance in my life, but to be a help in my life. And there's some here tonight, I'm afraid to say, that yes, you may have lived the life that I lived. Or you may have lived a life worse than I lived. But can I tell you, my friend, if God was good enough to allow the Holy Ghost to convict your heart and you call upon Jesus to save your soul and you're here tonight to be able to tell about it, hey, the same God that saved you is the same God that will be able to use you. Don't let your past limit you tonight. Realize that greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world tonight. Amen. I don't know about you, but I spent 22 years of my life mocking God, shaking my fist at God and say, "God, I'm not living for you. I'm going to live for Satan." God was good enough to save me. And now, my friend, I don't know about you, but I don't want to bring mockery to my Father's name. I want to bring honor and glory to His name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. I came across a statement not long ago. It's probably been about a year ago now. That statement goes like this: I am so satisfied with Christ that the only desire in my life is that Christ be satisfied with me. I wonder who would say tonight, Brother Dallas. Maybe I'm a Sunday school teacher. Maybe I'm a choir member. Maybe I'm part of the special singing program. Maybe I'm a nursery worker. Maybe I'm a deacon. Maybe I'm an usher. Maybe I'm a sound man. Maybe I'm the groundskeeper, or whatever the case may be. But Brother Dallas, for some time now, I've been laboring for the Lord in the arm of the flesh. And I haven't known what it is to labor in God's Spirit. And Brother Dallas, would you pray for me that I'd be hungry and thirsty for God's power in my life as I serve Him? I wonder who'd slip their hand up tonight. I wonder who'd slip their hand up tonight. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. I wonder who would say you can lower your hands. I wonder who would say, Brother Dallas, my prayer life is definitely not what it should be. Brother Dallas, in the recent days or the recent months, there's been things that come along my way And I've tried to fix them on my own. And Brother Dallas, as a result of that, I made them worse than they even started off to be. Brother Dallas, would you pray for me tonight that I would realize that the most supernatural prayer that God ever answered in any of our lives was the day that we called upon Him to save our soul. And the same great big God of heaven that answered that supernatural prayer of faith is the same great big God of heaven that can answer the needs that come along this journey called the Christian life. And Brother Dallas, would you pray for me that I'd find out what it is to not just have a prayer time in my life, but I'd find out what it is to have a prayer life. I wonder who'd slip their hand up tonight. I see those hands. I see those hands. You can lower your hands. Brother Dallas, there was a time in my Christian life where I was a soul winner. There was a time where I showed up for midweek soul winning and Saturday morning soul winning and bus visitation. But with a hectic schedule and just circumstances of life, Brother Dallas, for one reason or the other, I'm not as a faithful witness as I used to be. Or Brother Dallas, on the other hand, I'm saved by the grace of God. I know heaven is my home. I've got my fire insurance. My feet will never touch hell. But Brother Dallas, it's sad to say, but as a Christian, I've never told anybody about what Jesus did for me. And would you pray for me, Brother Dallas? Either I was faithful at one time, or Brother Dallas, I've never told anybody about Jesus. Would you pray for me that God would allow me to be the bold witness that I need to be for Him? I wonder who'd slip their hand up tonight. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. And lastly tonight, I wonder who'd say, Brother Dallas, I'm here this Wednesday night of church service. Brother Dallas, I lived a wicked life before I was. Let me just say this, though. My friend, you may not have been as deep in sin as I was, but sin was still deep in you. And it took just as much grace to save the one that grew up in church as it did this old dope addict as well, my friend. But I wonder who would say, Brother Dallas, there's some things in my life before I was saved, or Brother Dallas, there's some mistakes I've made, there's some failures that I have that I've got in my life even after I've been saved. And Brother Dallas, I kind of sit on the outskirts of watching everybody else serve God because I just feel limited in what I can do for God because of my past. Brother Dallas, would you pray that I would get victory over my past and go on for God's honor and for God's glory? I wonder who'd slip their hand up tonight. I just want to know who I can pray for. I see those hands. I see those hands. I'm going to ask us all to stand tonight. I'm going to ask us all to stand tonight. And if the pianist will begin to play, I want you to do this tonight, church. If you raised your hand for one reason or the other, I'm just going to ask you just to step out of your pew tonight and let's meet down here at this old-fashioned altar. Would you do that? Let's do business with the Lord tonight. There's no better time than the present to do business with the Lord. Faith Baptist Church, I believe you're bringing honor and glory to God. But as individuals, let's not be a mockery to God. Let's bring Him all the honor and glory that's due His name. Thank you.